A wise man once said, love is everywhere, and everywhere love is in need of me. Did I get that right, wise fella up the back? Love is everywhere, and everywhere it is in need of me. You know, there was two women were walking down the street in the middle of George Street. It was an auntie and her niece. And the auntie was from the country, an Aboriginal lady, and her niece was living in the city. And she wanted to show off her city lifestyle and what she was doing. And her auntie was clearly unimpressed. And they were walking down George Street. And then her auntie stopped and said, can you hear that? Can you hear that noise? And the niece said, there's hundreds of people walking back and forwards with headphones, and there's traffic, and there's chaos. What do you want me to hear? And she said, stop. And they walked around the corner together, down a little alleyway. And in the corner of the building was a bird's nest about 3 metres up, and there was a little bird's nest full of baby birds, and the mother was feeding them. And the niece said, how on earth did you hear that? And she said to her niece, your heart will always hear that which it's trained to love. And the niece was now the one who was clearly unimpressed with that. And they continued to walk down the street, and the auntie could quite quickly pick up that she was unimpressed. And the auntie said, you don't believe me, do you? And she reached into her pocket, pulled out a fistful of coins and threw it up into the air. And as the money hit the ground, everyone walking down the street stopped to look around. The heart hears what it is trained to love. Now, that's not a story to say it's not about the amount of money you have. It's about the depth of your heart and what it is trained to love. That's important. You are loved. It says here that God so loved the world. Right. I often think that the reason that we come here, and one of the best reasons to come weekly to church, is to recenter ourselves around the fact that you are loved. You are loved with a divine love. You are loved with a whole love. Last week I wasn't here. Graham quoted a poem by David White. What was the name of that poem? Everything is waiting for you. If you want to hear that, I go and look it up. Such a beautiful poem. And not to be outdone in the culture stakes here, I've memorised a Dr. Seuss poem for you, right? Today you are you. That is truer than true. There's no one on this earth who is youer than you. Is that as powerful as David White, right? When I say you are loved, that's a confusing sentence for most. Because we've kind of come to think of ourselves, the you, the me, the individualized, separated I, as this isolated individual. But as you know, if you come here regularly, you will hear there's no such thing as a single human person. We are made in relationship. We are made and created in love. And when I say you are loved, love is one of the most confusing words ever too. Because love is such a subjective thing. How you grow up is how you think love is expressed. There's a young girl that Lisa and I, we used to stay awake at night thinking about what are we doing for her? Because for her, love meant being yelled at, being physically and emotionally abused by her parents. And she thought that was love. For her, love made her less of who she was. She had to hide, she had to be diminished. And that's what she called love. So you are loved is such a confusing sentence. God loves this world. There's a divine love for this world. There's a divine love for you. And the Dr. Seuss poem says that you, it's you, you are you, there's no one on this earth youer than you. And I'm not talking about the you who you will be when you lose that last 5 kilos. Right? Or the you that you will be when you finally finish that thing that you're supposed to finish. Or for most of us as we get old, the you we used to be before all this stuff happened. The you who walked in this door, the you who's sitting in that chair, and the you that will walk out this door, that is the one who is loved. You are the one who is loved. And it says that if you believe. And just to reinforce the point, the word that we translate for the Bible as believe is actually a German word, And you know what that German root of that word means? It also means love. It's all about love. Do you really believe that you are loved? And it's not just an intellectual thing that you think in your head, I have to believe that I am loved. But if we can really know the meaning of love, it's to invest it with our attention, with our affection, to train our hearts towards it. In fact, when we lose belief most of the time, we're not losing a belief intellectually. We're not losing something we think. We're losing our trust, aren't we? Well, that's what we're losing. I don't know if I can trust this anymore. But I'm talking about a love that builds you up, the love that creates you, that makes you more of what you are meant to be. And that is the path to life. The Gospel of John talks about life all the time, and it talks about it in many different ways. It says, you know, you want eternal life. Greater love has no one than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And here, this is one of those verses that most people think is all shrunken down, and the whole of whatever the gospel and whatever that phrase means is contained in John 3:16. But this is not about eternal life is far more about the kind of life rather than the length of it. Right? We've lost far too much time talking about the length of it. Is this going to go on forever and ever and ever? Amen. No, but we're talking about the quality of life, the life that we have, that makes us, frees us, for us to be more ourselves, to be more who God created us to be. One of the things I love about being in this place is we say, we want nothing except who you are. That's what we want. We don't want you to feel the need to put on any masks while you're here. We need you to be you. We need you to love. And so God so loved the world, this divine love for you finds its highest expression in being sent, in moving. God so loved the world that he sent his only son. Love moves. That's what love means. Graham Rich, over the last few months, works harder than most people we know. And yet every weekend that he has spare, which isn't that many, he's been flying back to New Zealand to visit his sick mother. And he's been coordinating her care, and his sister's been there. She's been taking the last year or so off work. And it was Graham who sent us a message just on Friday to say that Avery has now passed on. So please keep Graham and his family in your prayers. But he found the joy in that. He said, what a joy it was to be able to be there for my mum. That's what love does. You know, Brother Blair, who's here with his sister Wendy, he has flown back and forward, spent a long time helping his parents now as they move out of their home into a nursing home, and now he's becoming an advocate, learning all those skills he has to speak a double language, to work the hospital and aged care system through. That's love. Love does. There are others here. Brother Stephen moves his feet every Sunday morning to come and set up this chapel at 8 o'clock in the morning before anyone's here. And he gets all the chairs out and he plugs in the microphones and he sets up the front desk. That's because that's what love does. Love does. And I could go on and on and on and tell you stories about what you amazing people do. And I have to mention all the mums here who invest, and dads who spend so much time investing love into their kids. That's not a waste of time, that's an investment of love. Whatever we do, it's laying down our lives, because that's the understanding we have. That love is active, that love also means that our life is not our own. It's meant to be lived in the cause of something much bigger and much greater than ourselves. The reason we are here is because Graham laid down his life, and Robin, for this place. There was something that captured them that was much bigger, and his love meant he has given every last ounce of his energy to keeping the doors open in this place. And what an amazing, amazing place it is. The stories, you know, if we hear, we were just at a fundraising dinner last week, and we heard young Gia tell her story again. And that is a story of someone who was once lost, who is now found, who is now living the life that she was always meant to live. That's love. And we have that example of love in Jesus, a life that is broken and poured out for others. And that is our example that we are to follow and emulate, to take our brokenness and to pour our life out for others, not in a way that diminishes us or diminishes others, but makes us more who we are meant to be. Our hearts are trained to love that which we set it towards. Love is everywhere, and everywhere it is in need of me. That's how we sustain ourselves, is by being able to see the love and the joy that is available in the midst of all the brokenness and pain. When we were young, whenever Mum visits, we always beg her, well, not anymore, we used to beg her to make lamb curry. And so now we get Dad to, because he actually makes a much better curry than Mum, right? But never tell my mother that ever, right? But when we were young, when we first migrated, we weren't well off at all. Dad had university degrees, but he was a janitor cleaning buildings at RMIT in Bundoora. But once in a while, we'd have enough money and we'd get Mum to make a lamb curry. And we used to have a fight, the four, me and my three sisters. Now, I must say, God's not fair. My three sisters are beautiful and musically talented and have the most amazing singing voices. And then there's me, the only one who has to sing publicly every week, right? It's horrible. And we used to fight over who got the bone because we'd suck the marrow, right? We love doing that. And we still get together and fight as adults, you know, who gets to suck the marrow out of it in the midst. And yet there's some of the most happy memories we have. And that is the key to life, is being able to work out and find ways to suck the marrow out of life in the midst of hardship, to find the joy. That is what sustains you on the journey. Most people, I was talking to someone in a cafe yesterday and they said, I could never do what you do because I wouldn't be able to cope. I'd burn out. You know, my heart would break. And I said, thanks, that sounds like I'm heartless. That's wonderful. But it's actually, it's nothing to do with that. You know, is it clinical supervision that gets you through? No, it's not the clinical supervision. It is a sense of humour that helps you see where the joy lies. And that is what sustains us on this journey. If we are willing to accept the broken nature of life and to pour it out on behalf of others. So I invite you to come forward. Because a life of love is not one that occurs alone. It occurs with others. We have Wendy that comes every week and brings us our beautiful bread as a gift of love. So come and accept this gift of love. Come and join with Christ in his brokenness, who poured out love for others. And let us do the same. For in us, through us, and with us, all glory and honor and power are yours. In your name, amen.